eyes, Srila Prabhupada. Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 11. Svayambhuva Manu advises Dhruv Maharaj. Today we have three texts, 8, 9, 10. 10 is on the board? Yeah. So I'll read text 8 and 9 in English, and then we'll do text 10 together, English and Sanskrit. Text number 8, this is Svayambhuva Manu continuing to address Dhruva Maharaj, trying to restrain him from overdoing it, killing all the yakshas. Text 8, translation, my dear son, the killing of the sinless yakshas which you have undertaken is not at all approved by authorities, and it does not befit our family, which is supposed to know the laws of religion and irreligion. Text number 9, my dear son, it has been proved that you are very much affectionate toward your brother and are greatly aggrieved at his being killed by the yakshas. But just consider, for one yaksha's offense, you have killed many others who are innocent. Text number 10. Nayang margo hi sadhunam. Nayang margo hi sadhunam. Rishikeshanuvartinam Yadatmanam paragrihya Yadatmanam paragrihya Pashuvahad bhutavaishasam Pashuvad bhutavaishasam Nāyam margo hi sādhunām Rishikeshanuvartinām Yadātmānam parāgrihya Vashuvāt bhūta vaiṣasam word for word. Now, never, I am this margaha path. He certainly sadhuna of honest persons, Rishikesha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anuvartinam, following the path, yet which? Atmanam, self, parak, the body, grihya, thinking to be, pashuvat, like animals, bhuta, of living entities, vaishasam, killing. So again, this is Svayambhuva Manu, and now he's, I'll talk about that later. He's drawing a wider circle now. He's backing up and getting very philosophical. First it was stop, stop, and now he's speaking very philosophically here. Translation, one should not accept the body as the self, and thus, like the animals, kill the bodies of others. This is specifically forbidden by saintly persons who follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat, one should not accept the body as the self.
One should not accept the body as the self.
And thus, like the animals,
kill the bodies of others.
This is especially forbidden by saintly persons who follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport, the words sadhunam, rishikeshanuvartinam are very significant. Sadhu means, quote, a saintly person. But who is a saintly person? A saintly person is he who follows the path of rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishikesh. In the Narada Pancharatra it is said, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. The process of rendering favorable service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's senses is called bhakti, or devotional service. Therefore, why should a person who is already engaged in the service of the Lord engage himself in personal sense gratification? Dhruva Maharaj is advised here by Lord Manu that he is a pure devotee of the Lord, a pure servitor of the Lord. Why should he unnecessarily engage, like the animals, in the bodily concept of life? An animal thinks that the body of another animal is his food. Therefore, in the bodily concept of life, one animal attacks another. A human being, especially one who is a devotee of the Lord, should not act like this. A sadhu, a saintly devotee, is not supposed to kill animals unnecessarily. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtyam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vamcha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nayang Margozi Sadhunam, Rishikesha Anuvartinam, Yad atmanam paragrihya pashuva bhuta vaishasam. This is an extraordinary section in this Leela, because we have two pure devotees speaking. We have Svayambhuva Manu, and he's been appointed by Krishna to be the administrator for the universe in this Manvantara, and then we have Dhruva Maharaj, who's been given lordship over the world and already granted the pole star and has gotten darshan of the Lord. And but now we have this case where Manu has to really chastise, one pure devotee has to really chastise another. This is over the top. This is this is too much. What are you doing? Last weekend we had a nice seminar with Mahatma Prabhu about forgiveness. And one thing we were reminded of is that when we forgive, it's not that we're condoning what was done. We have to separate the so-called offender from the offense. And of course, a pure devotee doesn't even take offense. That's another point. But that's a big block sometimes. People, you know, I might not want to forgive somebody because I think that I'm somehow excusing that or somehow condoning, saying it was okay what you did. No, that's not what it's all about at all. So anyway, Dhruva Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord, but he's being really restrained here by his grandfather, Svayambhuva Manu. If you go back to text 8, we had 8, 9, 10 today, so text 8 said, "My dear son, the killing of the sinless yakshas which you have undertaken is not at all approved by authorities, and it does not befit our family, which is supposed to know the laws of religion." So Dhruva Maharaj, he's a pure devotee of the Lord, he's got darshan of the Lord, touched by the Lord's conch shell. One commentator said, a previous acharya said he'd attained bhava, hadn't yet attained prema. There's still some traces here of something going on. So he's circumstantially, he's behaving like a demon. Pravritincha, navritincha, jana navidurasura, nashokchang napichacharo, nasatyang teshu vidyate. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. What is the next? Neither cleanliness, nor proper behavior, nor truthfulness is found in them. So this is a very extraordinary circumstance. And to try to rectify Dhruva Maharaj, Svayambhuva Manu is appealing to authority. And this is really the only safe and sure way to get knowledge and to become enlightened, is to receive knowledge from authority. Of course, it's problematic in Kali Yuga because the authorities have all turned out to be the cheaters, the enemies. But that does not negate the fact that the only way we can finally learn anything is from accepting legitimate, authentic, proper authority. As Krishna says in Gita 13:26, Anyetveva majanantak shrutvanye bhya upasate te pita chakitarantyeva mrityum shrutiparayanah. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person by hearing about him from authorities. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of repeated birth and death. So although there's so much cheating, lying, stealing in Kali Yuga, still, we have to be sincere enough to seek out authentic, proper authority. And then Manu says in text 8, he says, and it does not befit our family, which is supposed to know the laws of religion and irreligion. These are two kshatriyas speaking to one another. These are just like I live in what Prabhupada called Nunabdweep, which is kind of, at least externally, not unlike here, externally. Palm trees, papaya, mango, coconut, you know, all these things. So, and Prabhupada loved it for his translation work, so he called it Nunabdweep. We also have Panchatattva, kind of medium size, very sweet deities. So the HPD, the Honolulu Police Department, they ride around in their vehicles, and it says, to preserve and protect, right? Or to serve and to serve and protect. So, but then, you know, when it's exposed that the police chief or somebody is taking money or you know, or doing something illegal, on this, then it destroys trust. It destroys authority. But still, it doesn't negate the principle that the only way we can really know anything, only way we can really become free from our conditioned existence is to seek out, find authentic authority. So Manu is saying, look, you're betraying the whole public, and this is our heritage here. We're supposed to be the protectors. It does not befit our family, which is supposed to know the laws of religion and irreligion. We're supposed to know what is to be done, what is not to be done. And then in text 9, he's still going on. My dear son, see, he's asserting his position as his elder, as his senior, as his authority. My dear son, it has been proved that you are very much affectionate. It has been proved that you are very much affectionate towards your brother and are greatly aggrieved at his being killed by the Yakshas. You've proven it. Nobody can, you know, you don't have to go this far. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, Shakespeare has one character observing a lady who's insisting that something is not true. "'Tis not true! 'Tis not true! 'Tis not true!" So the character looks at the lady and says, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." Very wise observation. "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." And this phrase, "doth protest too much," has passed into English as a very common phrase to show that the more someone insists that it's not true, you can bet your bottom dollar it's true. And then also in Bengali, Prabhupada would say, we have a saying in Bengal, "Ati bhakti chorera lakshana." Too much devotion is the sign of a thief. "'Tis not true. 'Tis not. I'm not." The Prabhupada said, "I'm not stealing. I'm not stealing. I'm not stealing." Well, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm stealing. Right? So this betrays the public trust. This betrays the public trust. So finally in text 10, we have Madhu. He's scolding Dhruva. He's restraining him. Well, before that, at the end of text 9, he says, "But just consider." Now he's asking him to think deeply. Okay, I'm saying stop, but now think. "Just consider, for one Yaksha's offense, you have killed many others who are innocent." So it was a little too much, a lot too much, what Dhruva did. And perhaps one previous acharya suggests, because just remember what happened. Dhruva, Kshatriya-spirited Dhruva, had been offended very deeply, even as a five-year-old. So deep is the Kshatriya spirit, and manifested even in a five-year-old boy, that he was pushed off the lap of his father, of his biological father, by his stepmother, Saruchi. He didn't know the difference between Suniti and Saruchi. He hadn't known the difference until that point. "These are my mothers, and this is my father." And then there's Uttama on the lap of Uttanapad. And then, so Dhruva, he's affectionate toward it. He tries to climb up on the lap too. And Saruchi, "No, you don't deserve this. You cannot, only when you take birth from my womb will you be entitled to do that." So Dhruva was just, he was hissing like a snake. He was so beside himself with rage and Kshatriya spirit. So, but later, when he saw the Lord, when he got darshan of the Lord, "Ah, Swamin Krita to Smi Varangniya Che," my dear Lord, "I wanted a kingdom in revenge." We say in America, "I don't get mad, I just get even." He wanted a kingdom greater than his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. And then he was so embarrassed when he finally had darshan of the Lord. But he had only reached, the commentators say, even miraculously, amazingly, by the touch of the Lord's conch shell, he was able to articulate beautiful prayers, but he hadn't reached prema yet. He was in bhava, so there was some tinge. So perhaps, it was suggested by a commentator, that Dhruva, to overcompensate out of guilt still, for his wanting to seek revenge against Uttama and Saruchi, to show, to prove way over the top his love for Uttama, he wanted to do a whole ethnic cleansing, you know, a whole pogrom, a whole wipe out a whole race of people. And Swayambhuva Mahārāja said, "No, this is a dharmic, this is terrible, this is too much." In ISKCON history, there was an example of overcompensation. Very interesting example. I think I might have given it, but it's relevant here, so I'll tell it again. In following Srila Prabhupada, DVD number 2, I believe, Yadavara's beautiful audio-visual record of Prabhupada's Manifest Leela with us. The summer of 1970, New Vrindavan, the horrendous event when it was being declared by some nouveau sannyasis that Prabhupada was Krishna. So in his memoir of this, Brahmananda being one of them, telling the memoir on the DVD, reflecting, looking back on it, he said, previous to this, just a few months earlier, back in June, I believe, myself and a few of my colleagues, our understanding of Prabhupada had been compromised by some people from another Sangha, and Prabhupada's position had been relativized, and so Prabhupada knew that by his powers. And therefore, to purify us, he had given us sannyas, and he just sent us out on the road to preach. He got them out of the house. And so we had been minimizing Prabhupada's position. We thought, from due to the influence of some other people, that maybe he wasn't all that we thought he was. And so, looking back on the whole thing of making him Krishna, we were overcompensating. We went from minimizing, underestimating, to overestimating. So, in a subsequent letter, Prabhupada remarked, "The only thing worse than underestimating the spiritual master is to overestimate him and to make him God. Because if you make the spiritual master God, then if you become a spiritual master, you can be God too." Mayavad, the last snare of Maya. So either extreme is bad, and Dhruva, he's gone from, you know, wanting this revenge of having a kingdom greater than anybody, practically, to now going to the other side and over-proving his love for Uttama, his erstwhile enemy, by slaughtering an entire race of people. So in text 10, Mano gets very philosophical. He just starts preaching very generally. "One should not accept the body as the self, like the animals. One should not accept the body as the self, and thus, like the animals, kill the bodies of others. An animal has no concept of conscience, of the pain and suffering he's causing others." Just imagine the pain if you were face to face with a tiger and he was just ripping apart your flesh, tearing you limb from limb. And in his ignorance, because after all, animals are in the mode of ignorance, tinged by different modes, but basically in ignorance, out of his ferocious anger and his ignorance, he's just seeing you as food. And that's what Prabhupada says here. He says, "Why should he unnecessarily engage like the animals in the bodily concept of life? An animal thinks that the body of another is his food. No concept of the pain he's causing. Atmavatsarva bhuteshu, no concept of the golden rule. We want to treat others as we want to be treated. We want to treat others. We should treat others as others. We would have others treat us. That's what we call the golden rule in English." So he's telling Dhruva, "You're acting like an animal, which has no sense of conscience or suffering like that." And then Manu again appeals to the authority of saints. "This is especially forbidden by saintly persons." And this is really good, because an authentic, we were talking about Kshatriyas the other day with Kaunteya Prabhu, an authentic Kshatriya, where does he get his values? He gets his values from the Brahminical community, from authentic sadhus, saints and sages. And so Manu was appealing to that training. This is not what he's saying. "This is especially forbidden by saintly persons who follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Manu also had a very sweet relationship with Karda Muni. And you can read in Bhagavatam, if you want to make a note of this, mental note, or if you can read Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 56, Prabhupada describes a very sweet, mutually protective relationship between Brahmins and Kshatriyas. The Brahmins protect the Kshatriyas by giving them wisdom, by giving them knowledge, by giving them the proper values, so they can have the proper attitudes to execute the Lord's will. And so the Brahmins, so that the Brahmins can execute their duties peacefully, the Kshatriyas provide them material protection. So another little bit of ISKCON history, inject here. We saw in the 1980s, those of you who were here, were in ISKCON in those days, we saw a severe breakdown of authority because many authorities fell and left their posts, and it created a severe crisis of faith. And when that happens, things really become chaotic. And as Srila Prabhupada wrote, when a great acharya appears, it is the duty of the disciples to remember the instructions of the spiritual master and to set things right. But what happens when authority breaks down and people lose faith in authority? Then cynicism sets in. So you know those four adages, those four sayings that Prabhupada appropriated from, I think, the Buddhist tradition? Purity, for example, starts with, it starts with books are the basis. So books are the basis, and the cynic came in and said, no, bucks are the basis. Bucks, that's American slang for money. Bucks are the basis, Prabhu. Books are the basis becomes bucks is the basis. And then utility is the principle becomes, Prabhu, futility is the principle. And then the cynic takes the next saying, let's see. Purity is the force, Prabhu. No, Prabhu, purity is the farce. That's the cynic. And then preaching is the essence becomes fleecing. You know what fleecing is? Fleecing is when you take people's money. When you extort and unnecessarily extort money from them, it becomes fleecing. Fleecing is the essence, Prabhu. So this cynicism, it cannot prevail wherever there are sincere and serious Vaishnavas, because they remember the instructions of the spiritual master, and they want to set things aright, as Manu was trying to set Dhruva right here. Now it's very interesting to me also that at the end of the purport, because there's some animal images here, the way Prabhupada ends the purport, he says, a human being, especially one who is a devotee of the Lord, should not act like this. Like what? Like an animal. A sadhu, a saintly devotee, is not supposed to kill animals unnecessarily. So here's a little tidbit you can use in your preaching when you're reaching out to people. Because what we do is, because in Kali Yuga people don't have faith in Shastra. They think scripture is a way just to control people, to get money and power and just to abuse people and like that. So sometimes in our preaching work we reach out to other people that maybe they're attached to. So there's a famous poet, writer, playwright, vegetarian. That's not our goal, of course, but he was a good start for George Bernard Shaw. And Prabhupada refers to George Bernard Shaw in one of his old Back to Godheads. When Mahatma Gandhi turned, I forget what the age he turned, maybe 75 or something. Must have been about 75. I think it was 75. So George Bernard Shaw wished Mahatma Gandhi a long, long life. May you live a long, long time. And Prabhupada took the opportunity of that remark by GBS, famous poet, playwright from Ireland, England, like that, to say no one can, you know, everyone's got their allotted time, no one can stave off the grim reaper forever, everybody has their certain allotted breaths. And so the only way to live forever is by surrendering to the Supreme Lord. Anyway, George Bernard Shaw wrote a very nice poem establishing the karmic connection. He didn't say that, but this is what he's doing in the poem, between slaughter and war. So you can tell people this. The poem is called From Living Graves, or Living Graves, Living Graves. I won't say the whole poem, I'll just say the end. Carrion means rotten flesh. Like carrion crows, we live and feed on meat, regardless of the suffering and pain we cause by doing so. If thus we treat defenseless animals for sport or gain, how can we hope in this world to attain the peace we say we are so anxious for? we pray for it. Or hecatombs. Hecatombs means Greek tradition, there was, and Roman too, they had this practice of sacrificing 100 head of cattle. So it's come to mean some horrible sacrifice, or it's just come to mean slaughtered animals. We pray for it, peace being peace. We pray for peace. Or hecatombs of slain, To God, while outraging the moral law. Thus cruelty begets its offspring. War. So, like in America, you know, they sent all these guys to Iraq and now they're still in Afghanistan. And, you know, what do they do? What do they feed them? They feed them McDonald's, hamburgers. You know? So, we live by the sword, we die by the sword. So human life is meant for restraint. It's meant for waking up our love of God. And sometimes even someone as exalted as Dhruva Maharaj makes a mistake and he has to be reminded by a senior Vaishnava, a senior pure devotee. That's another thing that came out in the seminar last weekend on forgiveness. That sometimes we obsess so much with perfection that we pretend we're there. So instead of obsessing with perfection, we should rather focus on direction and uplift each other, because Krishna's just trying to uplift us. So if we uplift ourselves, in one case by forgiving ourselves, then we can forgive others, uplift others, go home, back to Godhead, like that. So I'll read the verse again if you have any questions. I'll read three verses. My dear son, the killing of the sinless yakshas which you have undertaken is not at all approved by authorities, and it does not befit our family, which is supposed to know the laws of religion and irreligion. My dear son, it has been proved that you are very much affectionate towards your brother and are greatly aggrieved that he is being killed by the yakshas. But just consider, for one yaksha's offense, you have killed many others who are innocent. One should not accept the body as the self and thus, like the animals, kill the bodies of others. This is especially forbidden by saintly persons who follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sorry. Any questions coming? Internet? Nothing. Gita Nagri, Jai. Old Faithful.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. That's the internet? Excuse me. The internet wanted that? The internet wanted that? Okay. Go ahead,
Gita. So the darshan of the Lord is considered the sun and bodhnam of realization in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. You know, haran manyena patrena
satyasya.
Please show me your face, remove the dazzling effulgence. So if one gets the darshan of the Lord, it's considered the sun and bodhnam of all devotional practices, to actually see God face to face. So Dhruva got that. So my question is, how could someone who has reached the sanam bonum of Gaudiya Vaishnava perfection fall under the modes of the material nature and become carried away like this? In other words, either you're perfect or you're not perfect, and it seems, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but the idea is that, you know, in Buddhist philosophy, when Lord Buddha left his kingdom, he went for a while and he lived with some bhaktas. That was his first stop. And then he rejected, and he saw that the bhaktas were experiencing high states of happiness and, you know, bliss, But then he rejected the path of bhakti yoga because he saw that they were experiencing high states of ecstasy and bliss, but then they were coming down again. So then he concluded that bhakti yoga is another feature of Maya, a very high feature of Maya, but still another feature of Maya. So that was his conclusion, and therefore he rejected the Vedas and the bhakti yoga path. So here we have Dhruva Maharaj. He sees the Lord face to face, supposed to be the end of the line. And now he's again in the modes of ignorance, or, you know, modes of ignorance, actually killing too many people. My question is it's confusing. Why?
Congratulations. You have been confused. Perfection is a many splendored thing. Perfection is a many splendored thing. It is a many splendored thing. And it's not true that you're either perfect or not perfect. What does Krishna say? Yata! Yata mam prapadyante dangstataiva bhajamyaham. Mamavatmana vartante manushat partha sarvasha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pita. As I mentioned, miraculously enough, when the Lord appeared before Dhruva and Dhruva was touched by his conch shell, he was empowered to articulate beautiful prayers and realize that he had been a fool. But he hadn't attained prema, amazingly enough, yet. Even in the spiritual world, perfection is always increasing. It's Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that when Krishna exchanged betel nuts with the gopis, mouth to mouth, the gopis spiritually advanced. They spiritually advanced by receiving a betel nut from Krishna's lotus lips. So Kala Krishna Das fell down in Mahaprabhu's association. You know, there's so many examples. And it's all, whatever is happening, we have to remember, it's happening for our further advancement. Whether it's Ajamil, or it's Dhruva, or it's Sureshwar Das, or Gitanagari Das. By that verse, Manushanang Sahasreshu, we have attained perfection. Manushanang sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye yadatamapi siddhanam kaschin mangveti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. You are that one in thousands. We are that one in thousands by Prabhupada's divine grace. And of those who have achieved perfection, just to ask, who am I? Am I this body or something else? And of those who have achieved that kind of perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So we know Krishna. I know Krishna somewhat, but got a long way to go. And the road never ends. The road never ends. Even when we go back to Godhead, it's an ever-increasing journey. It's ever-increasing. Even for Krishna, that's Krishna's inconceivable potency. That as soon as he is aware of his own wonderfulness, he increases. So there's an eternal competition, Rupa Goswami says, between his own wonderfulness, his own greatness, and his own awareness of his greatness. That's inconceivable in the land of entropy. You know, the scientific concept of entropy, that everything goes from a state of wholeness to a state of disintegration. Sakale neha mahata yogo nashtag parantapa. In due course of time, everything's breaking down, 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 down. Spiritual life is everything's ever increasing. So it's possible. Stuff happens. Dhruva was touched by the conch shell of the Lord, and still, for our edification, he was put into this position of going way over the top, and now being restrained by another pure devotee. And he follows. He surrenders. So somebody said, they want to repeat that poem. Okay, we'll do it real quick. This is the end of that poem. Like carrion crows, we live and feed on meat, regardless of the suffering and pain we cause by doing so. If thus we treat defenseless animals for sport or gain, how can we hope in this world to attain? The peace we say we are so anxious for. We pray for it, o'er hecatombs of slain to God, while outraging the moral law. Thus cruelty begets its offspring, war. So, that's a good outreach start. Dara Brahmadas from Mayapur says, can you repeat the name of George Bernard Shaw's poem? Living Graves. Just Google Living Graves and you'll get it. So whenever things look bleak, we have to be the change we want to see. We cannot let cynicism and despair and hopelessness overtake us, because as Prabhupada would always say, look on the bright side. Prabhupada is the ultimate positive thinker. We are so much on the safe side. This material life, you know, spiritual life may be difficult, but material life is impossible, Prabhupada would say. There's no happy ending in material life. The only happy ending and happy beginning is in spiritual life. More questions, comments? So we hope that, at least I hope, because I'm a real sunbird. Yes. Oh, bye-bye? Okay, you want to?
Sure. I always thought that you have to become ready before you can actually enter into the ashram of sannyas. So you're saying how some examples, how they were given sannyas to purify them. I don't understand that. Could you maybe explain?
Okay, everybody hear the question? Abhay Prabhu thought that you always had to be ready. So sannyasi cha yogi cha nanuragnir na chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated. Is there the renounced order of life? And he is the perfect mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duties. Well, maybe you were there in a previous birth, Prabhu. But the way Prabhupada orchestrated the Hare Krishna explosion was, he just deputized us as putative paramhansas. You can do it. Go out and do it. Put us on all these pedestals. And then when we saw, we started to look around and, whoa. All right. I think we better start talking about Daivi Varnashram Dharma, not Karma Kanda Varnashram. You know, when you hear Varnashram denigrated, Prabhupada's talking about Karma Kanda Varnashram. Daivi Varnashram is very much needed. Anyway, so Prabhupada told, I think I told him in the last class, so when he gave his devotee sannyas, and he even says this on one of the DVDs from Yadavar, that when Prabhupada gave me sannyas, he said, most of you will not be able to maintain this, but it's an emergency. Do it. Just go out and do it. You, go up and open up Africa. You open up Germany. You people will respect you more, you know. So, yeah, that's what happens in an emergency, in a war. The farmers, the clergy, you know, the school teachers, they pick up a gun and they may get their head blown off, but then they're revered as saints and founding fathers later on by history. Whatever happened, whatever Srila Prabhupada did in his manifest time with us, he did out of compassion and love, and Krishna does not forget the sacrifice that anybody ever made and does make today as I speak, even if they're over their head. But ordinarily, yes, that's what Prabhupada was talking about, Daivi Varnashram. We have to make this sustainable. We have to make this realistic. We can't become a laughingstock. We can't, you know, be a farce. So, yeah, that's right. There's three kinds of duties. You look at 247 Gita. Karmanivarikaraste mapaleshu kadachana ma karma palaheto bhur mastvik maste sangostva karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty, focus in the purport is on duty. Prabhupada said there's three kinds of duties. There's desired duties. There's routine duties. Yeah, everybody has to brush their teeth and, you know, stuff like that. There's things you like to do. Oh yeah, I really like to plant crops, you know. I like to school teach kids. And then there's the emergency work. So in Prabhupada's Manifest Leela, it was a total emergency. You know, from day one, it was, I'm an old man, I don't have much time, please try to understand this urgency of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it was just a full court press, as they say in basketball, on the kingdom of Maya. But to make it sustainable, he wanted us to settle into our natural strengths, per Shastra. After Krishna outlines the four varnas in the 18th chapter, and then he says, how by following his qualities of work every man can become perfect. By worship of the Lord, who is all-pervading, man can attain perfection. So, you're right. Ordinarily, that's true. But in an emergency, sometimes everybody picks up a gun, everybody picks up a stick. Not everybody, but, you know. And then they might stumble and fall. I told, I think, in the last class about Sudama Maharaj, the former Sudama Maharaj, who went from, you know, sannyas to the pits. And then, but Prabhupada had told him, if you just go to Japan, even by yourself, I will personally come and take you back to Godhead. So there was Sudama dying of AIDS in Los Angeles in the 90s and giving beautiful memories. You can see them on Siddhanta's memory series. And as Omkara Mataji reports, and then in his last moments, Sudama said, Prabhupada, you've come! Haribo. So it's an emergency. It's still an emergency, but to make a realistic impact on the world, we have to be very organized, very intelligent, very surrendered, very bold, and along with the building this beautiful building, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, we have to build a temple for Krishna in the heart. We have to clean out our temples. We have to have a nice community, because that's what people will see. Okay, where is the example of this Vedic paradigm you're talking about? Are you guys the example? Yeah. So in a few years this will be right. Awesome. Bhishma means awesome. When Devavrata took that awesome vow, the devas said, what a terrible vow. A Kshatriya, heavy duty, thoroughbred Kshatriya is not going to marry? Bhishma! The heavens resounded. Awesome. So along with this awesome, this Adbhuta Mandir going up, we have to become awesome too. We have to have the community and the relationships to match the amazing world-class building that's going up here. So I won't keep you any longer. Let's do it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!